Omaganatimirandasya ganagana salakya Sakshurun meditam yanatasmai shegurave namaha Nama om Vishnu Praya Krishna Prishna Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamtanamane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavari Paskityari Satarine Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yana Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Parikamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Chom Sri Rupam Sagrayatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sadivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Paridana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Dalita Sri Vishakam Vitancha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchala Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Pri Vanchakalpatrubhyacha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadada Shiva Sri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So reading from Bhagavad Gita, Satya, chapter 6, text 1, it looks like. Correct?
That's what it says there.
Okay. Kindly repeat. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Anasritam. Karmapalam. Karyam. Karma karoti ya sa sanyasi cha yogi cha na niragnir na chakriya Sri Bhagavan Uvacha anasrita karma palam Karyam karma karotiyam sa sanyasi cha yogi cha na niragni na chakriyam Sri Bhagavan Uvacha anasrita karma palam karyam karma karotiyam Sahasanyasi shayogi cha Na niragni na chakriya Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Anasrita karma param Karyam karma karotiya Sahasanyasi shayogi cha Na niragni na chakriya Someone else?
Sri Bhagavan Vacha Anasrita karma param Bye.
Ladies. The Lord said, Anasrita, without taking shelter, karma palam, of the result of work, karyam, obligatory, karma, work, karoti, performs, ya, one who, sa, he, sannyasi, in the renounced order, cha, also, yogi, mystic, cha, also, na, not, nihi, without, agnihi, fire, na, nor, cha, also, akriyaha, without duty. Translation. The Supreme Personality of God had said, one who is unattached to the fruits of his work and works as he is obligated is in the renounced order of life and is a true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no duty. Purport. In this chapter, the Lord explains that the process of the Eightfold Yoga system is a means to control the mind and the senses. However, this is very difficult for people in general to perform, especially in the age of Kali. Although the Eightfold Yoga system is recommended in this chapter, the Lord emphasizes that the process of Karma Yoga, or acting in Krishna consciousness, is better. Everyone acts in this world to maintain his family and their paraphernalia. But no one is working without some self-interest, some personal gratification, be it concentrated or extended. The criterion of perfection is to act in Krishna consciousness and not with a view to enjoying the fruits of work. To act in Krishna consciousness is the duty of every living entity because all are constitutionally parts and parcels of the Supreme. The parts of the body work for the satisfaction of the whole body. The limbs of the body do not act for self-satisfaction, but for the satisfaction of the complete whole. Similarly, the living entity who acts for satisfaction of the Supreme Whole and not for personal satisfaction is a perfect sannyasi, the perfect yogi. The sannyasis sometimes artificially think that they have become liberated from all material duties and therefore they cease to perform Agnihotra Yajna, fire sacrifices. But actually they are self-interested because the goal is to become one with the impersonal Brahman. Such a desire is greater than any material desire, but it is not without self-interest. Similarly, the mystic yogi who practices the yoga system with half open eyes, ceasing all material activities, desires some satisfaction for his personal self. But a person acting in Krishna consciousness works for the satisfaction of the whole without self-interest. A Krishna-conscious person has no desire for self-satisfaction. His criterion of success is the satisfaction of Krishna, and thus he is a perfect sannyasi, a perfect yogi. Lord Chaitanya, the highest perfectional symbol of renunciation, prays in this way. Nadanam nadyanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye Mama janmani janmaneshware bhavatara bhaktir ahetuki tvai. O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor to enjoy beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. What I want only is the causeless mercy of your devotional service in my life, birth after birth. Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Santanam Namaste Sarasvati Devi Vidyanam. Verse was Sri Bhagavan Vacha Anasrita Karma Param Karyam Karma Karvatiya Sa Sanyasi Sa Yogi Cha Na Niragni Na Shakriyaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, one who is unattached to the fruits of his work and works as is obligated is in the renounced order of life and is a true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no duty. So I like this verse because it's very practical. You know, you want to be a yogi? No problem. Just be detached. Don't try to take sannyas, just stay where you are and work for the pleasure of the Lord. But be detached. That's the point. Or don't be attached to the fruits of your work. You have a right to perform a duty but not to enjoy the results. I have a right to perform a duty. I have the right to give my lecture. It's my right. But the result, you may or may not appreciate it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Some appreciation is there, but you know, it's not that. Then afterwards, you know, everyone is going to come and pay our obeisances and say, "Oh, how wonderful!" Well, that may or may not happen. But in either, even if it happens, still, it's not in that sense for us to enjoy. It's for the pleasure of the Lord. In one sense, you listen also, but now it. Maybe as you deserve a nice lecture, okay? You deserve to listen to a nice lecture, but it may not always be so nice, not so nice. Okay, you know, saying something like that. But okay, but then again, we have a right to perform our duty. Maybe we have a right to perform our duty, but not the right to enjoy the result. We have the right to listen to the lecture. Of the right to give the lecture, right to listen to the lecture. But it's not really for us to enjoy. Actually, the Lord is in the heart of all living entities. He is enjoying. He is Bhuktaram Yagatapasam. He is enjoyer of Bhuktaram Yagatapasam, of sacrificing and austerities. That's Krishna. He is enjoyer. So it's for his, you can say, for his pleasure, also as devotees, we dutifully speak, we dutifully listen, we dutifully worship the Lord, we dutifully may try to distribute books, print books, produce all kind of things for the sake of serving the Lord. We dutifully manage the temples or facilities or the projects of the Lord. So in one sense, we dutifully do. We can say that's all right. But it's not our duty to enjoy the result. The result is for Krishna to enjoy. Of course, then sometimes, who knows, Krishna can, sometimes it turns out not so good. But then, you know, can say, well, it's not your, maybe it's not even your business to lament them. One and, oh, it was so great, but also, no, it was so bad. Well, in either case, you know, we learned something and we do our duty and try better next time. But we keep going in a detached fashion. Because if you're attached to the fruits, then we also be discouraged when we are failing. Because that's a tough thing, because we are conditioned souls. You know, we, well, some of us, at least. So
So you're like attached to the results. You want to see some results. And if it doesn't turn out so good, then you become a little bit despondent or something. A little bit, or more. But in any case, we should keep that down. Well, okay, let's say we are attached, but still we should keep going, doing our duty. Sometimes maybe not so great, sometimes greater. In another case, sometimes the sun is shining and sometimes it's raining, sometimes it's winter and sometimes it's summer, sometimes it's peace and sometimes it's war. Where the devotees go on with the duty of serving the Lord. So you can be a mystic, a yogi. He's a proper use of mystic. He's the true mystic. Okay. This is the point. We do our duty for the sake of pleasing the Lord. Okay. Then we are a mystic. We are connected in yoga with the Lord because we do our duty for His pleasure. So that's through our action, we are connected with the Lord. We do the same thing, basically, something. More or less the same thing. I speak here, well, if I wouldn't be speaking here, if I wouldn't have become a devotee, most probably I would have been speaking, okay. Because I spoke before I became a devotee also. I could give lecture, I could speech to the school, to the unions, to the kids. I was just a young. The headmaster listened. Any case, something like that happened. He got a little bit upset. Okay, the point was that there's a capability of speaking, so that's what was the point. Well, we speak this way, we speak that way. Okay, you work, you earn money this way, that way, or whatever. Or we manage a temple, we manage a business. You will manage. But the difference is that now we're doing it for Krishna, not for enjoying the results. We're trying to not enjoy the results. The idea is we do this for the sake. And that, but it may look the same. Or you're managing something, or you may manage it good or bad, but in any case, you're trying to do it for Krishna. So then we become the true mystic in everyday life. Or maybe, I don't know if there's any mothers here, but maybe taking care of kids or having taken care of the family. Say, well, I do. This is for Krishna. It's Krishna's child. Or in Krishna's family. Well, okay, bigger sense or smaller sense. And we can. But then in that way we become connected with Krishna, and that way we are yogi, we are mystic. But that being a mystic yogi. Someone who is connected with Krishna in the heart. When I was in India now, just for around Mayapur, before Mayapur, in any case, there was a small presentation about the Gurukul of Bhaktivedya Purna Swami. I just remember one thing, I like that, and was they taught. And they also do service. And the point was that the service was an important part to assimilate the knowledge. Because when you, while you serve, you kind of contemplate. While you clean the floor and the toilets and I don't know what, cut the vegetables and cook, you're kind of contemplating the instructions given in the lecture. And that way, you're integrating the knowledge in your life. So one are you listening here, but then also you're doing something, and then while doing something, okay, it's menial things is easy because then you can let your mind go on. Even somewhere complicated technical matters, you will maybe have to put your mind into it, so to say. And then this morning was the lecture here, and I spoke with Krishna Kshetra Prabhu. I put a question, and the point was that Prabhu made a point of. See things as, I think he said it, see things as you are, that's as I remember it, okay. If he said something else. See things as you are and accept things as they are. I like that one. You know, and then you can have peace. And then surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord. See things as they are and accept things as they are and surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord. Because If we see that things are a mess, doesn't mean that we can't clean it up. But the point is that it's not we get, you know, totally, you know, upset. No, it's we see things as they are, and the fact of the matter is that there's a soul and there's a super soul. Because as I mentioned it to Krishna Kshetra Prabhu, and he made a point of that, it's actually Vedantic or some Vedantic point or something. My memory is not so good. In any case, he said about Shravanam, them something with the mind. So first you hear, you contemplate, and you integrate. Okay? Hearing, contemplating, integrating, what do you hear? So that we can say is the challenge. We hear, we contemplate, and it shall then become an integrated part of us. Yes. We are servants of Krishna. Yes, I speak truth. Almost, always. Okay, Prabhupada gives the example. Maybe you're in business, I don't know. No, in any case, we speak the truth, okay? We should live the truth. We should be, okay, we hear the truth, we hear the message, contemplating, integrating, yes, I will do this way. I will speak truthfully, I will live a honest life, I will whatever. I will be a good devotee. Having contemplated, heard, contemplated, and then integrated. So then when it's integrated, you don't have to think about it. That's a challenge. You were living the message, you may not even have to think about it. Maybe something like driving car. Maybe first you have theoretical lesson and then you have to sit there and drive with, I suppose, with a driving teacher, and then you're driving more and more and finally you're let driving yourself. But you're never really ready. You're always kind of, well, never. I don't know if you're never ready. When you get 60, then you're maybe ready. but it can be integrated part. So at one point you drive and you don't have to think about it. I don't think. Do we think when we drive? Yeah, we think, but we don't exactly think about the driving. The mind goes in all directions, maybe. Therefore, we should have some tape recorder or whatever and listen to some nice transcendental vibrations. But the point is that then you're like, you know, you're automatically responding in a certain way. So it's the integrated part of you. A little bit like that. Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada also says that Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition of the mind. Actually, it's a natural, what is it? It's a natural state of the living entity. We are remember this, we want to be natural, but we are actually, this is the challenge to be natural. What does it mean to be natural, you know? What is really natural for us? Actually, what is natural for the soul is to serve the Lord. So when we are not in a state of mind that we want to serve the Lord, we are in our natural state. When we say, hey, no, I want to serve the Lord, I do this for the pleasure of the Lord, that's a natural state. And because it's a natural state, it's a happy state. If you want to enjoy, then yes, we're going to be unhappy. We're going to be frustrated. Because, how was it? I heard also there was... What was that? Oh, that was Lila Sukha, okay, Prabhu, in Brussels, okay. And he is writing, then talking with Anuttama Prabhu. I heard something about conversion. He makes them study there. What was the point there? No, I'm sorry. I'm natural. I'm sorry, my mind loses a connection here. On how to be natural, okay. Why did I put that? There was some point in it. Yeah, okay, yeah, suffer. Okay, this suffer. The point was, yes, our philosophy is, in this world is a world of suffering. Krishna says it's a hell from the topmost planet to the lowest planets because of repetition of birth and death, okay, and suffering. And then he made the point of the Christians. There were some two different kind of conversions to Krishna consciousness. One from the Catholic converts, that was something, but the Protestant converts, they had quite an easy thing in one sense, but the Protestants, their philosophy is something like that. This world is suffering. Well, again, now the point was the suffering. This world is a place of suffering. Sometimes there's some happiness, okay? But then if you think that this world is always going to be happy and sometimes there's some suffering, you're in a problem. It's opposite. This world is a place of suffering and sometimes there's a little bit of happiness. Sometimes there's some peak of happiness. But of course, if we can accept that fact, then we can, so to say, be happy. You know, if we see it as it is and accept it as it is, we don't make ourselves any false illusion that it's going to be happy in a romantic or fantastic way. Romantic happiness is an illusion and is cause of suffering. Okay, because it's going to come to an end and going to be disappointed. Okay, so therefore, let's do our duty, serving the Lord to our best capacity and develop, and while doing this, internally develop a relationship with the Lord on internal platform, to say. Whether here or there, whether we're white or saffron or, I don't know, yellow or blue, in any case, you should serve the Lord and be in a relationship to the Lord. And then there's no suffering, or there, at least you will not be touched by the suffering. Brahma Bhutta Prasanatam Nasochantina Kankshati Samasavesha Bhutashu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. That when you're thus transcendentally situated, you're satisfied in yourself, there's nothing to hanker for, nothing to lament for. Because you're self-satisfied. And that we have to get to that point. Otherwise you will not be happy. Oh, no, now I want to be happy. Because here in the purport, Prabhupada speaks about the yogi, the impersonalist. They want to be happy and they understand that this world is a suffering and they have an ambition to be happy. But the devotees, in any case, we can be happy when we don't try to be happy. But we're trying to give happiness to the Lord. And we're satisfied in that rasa, with that relationship. So the impersonally. So as long as we properly spoke in the purport, then personal ambition. Well, you say, okay, now I want to be happy in Krishna consciousness. Well, Prabhupada said we should chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Okay, at the same time, our ambition to be happy, we may also put it to the side. Our ambition should to be make the Lord happy. At the same time, if so is done, that will be our satisfaction, that the Lord is happy. And there's nothing to hanker for, nothing to lament for. Samasavesha Bhutashu. And we will view everyone equally, because we see everyone is equally, we see everyone equally as a servant of the Lord. That's quite a challenge. You know, maybe the Swami, the fixed up pujari, you know, is really serving, and what am I doing? Of course, but still we see everyone equally. There's a soul and there's a super soul, okay? There's a material body, there's a subtle body, there's a false ego, pride, prestige, and then there's a soul and there's a super soul. So in that way, seeing everyone equally. And then it says, in that state you can enter into pure devotional service. And then you can be fully happy. But you're not ambitious to be happy. You don't depend on, so say, being happy. Your satisfaction is pleasing the Lord. And the reality is, as devotees of the Lord, we are conditioned souls. We're coming from a conditioned background, we can say. And we become devotees, but it doesn't mean that they grow out wings from our shoulders. Not yet. Or have they? We just don't see it. Well, we don't so drastically. On one level we transform, on one level we can, you know, dress and hairstyle and things like that, living happiness we can change, but certain there's certain patterns within that may be difficult to change. So we may or may not be able to change in that sense so much. So that we remain in a conditioned state, and thus, and we can say, there will be some suffering, okay, due to a conditioned nature. We're conditioned to think in a certain way, or expecting things to be in a certain way, and then it's not as I want it. Okay, then we're suffering. Now, we have to learn to transcend that. Transcend our conditioned nature. Not that we will get rid of it, but we can be a little bit aloof of it. And that's maybe the aloofness of being, looking at a little bit with a distance at our own shortcomings. Not that we should shortcome, that it's okay, but we may still have a little bit compassion or distance even to our own condition. Say, yes, this is my condition, okay. And if you have a little bit distance to it, it will be easier to deal with it. Okay, so the challenge is not to be an enjoying spirit, but in a serving spirit. Or, well, we can say some ambition, yes, to please the Lord. And then Prabhupada quotes this. Nadanam nadyanam nasundarim kavitam vajya gadisha. Let's see. Yes. Kavitam vajya gadisha kamaye. Mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatat bhaktir ahetaki tvayi. O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor to enjoy beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. That can be a challenge. Well, we may all have our weak points, okay. That's when we become a spiritual leader, it's a challenge, you know. Krishna gives whatever, something. Just to see, well, Maya gives things, just to see, are you free from the desire? Okay, then, but what I want only, the only want I want is, only thing I want is your devotional service, birth after birth. And then in this verse, then we say, you don't even want liberation, you don't express a desire for liberation. Let me take birth after birth, but let me engage in your service. That is my happiness. Okay, so in that way, we may pray that we birth after birth, moment after moment, second after second, minutes after minute, hour after hour, day after day, engage in the service of the Lord. Year after year, month after month, week after week, whatever, week, month, year, decade after decade, maybe life after life, who knows, engage in the service of the Lord. But then if you are truly engaged in the service of the Lord and internally connected with the Lord in your heart as a mystic yogi, it will not really be a difference. Will we serve Krishna here or there? We will see the Lord and his devotees. There will be the Lord, his devotees, and devotional service, and that's bliss. That's the spiritual world. So we don't really need to go anywhere. We are already there. We will already be there. And then, you know, it doesn't really matter, you know, this way or that way. But of course, as our state of mind is, at the time of death, thus our next life will be. So if we are in that consciousness, that we are in the spiritual consciousness, and then we're already there, and we will, so to say, enter. We will easily enter that level or that realm. But if you're not there with our consciousness, even though externally we may have transformed to a certain degree, I'm not sure what will happen. Because the question is, where is our mind, actually? Where is our consciousness? Okay, Krishna. Let Chant Hare Krishna be happy. And don't worry, Krishna is in control. So, you know, okay, I serve and pray to Krishna that he arranges things in such a way that you will progress in your spiritual life. You don't have to arrange too many things yourself. Just stay where you are and be serve sincerely, and then when time is, we may shift this way or that way into different division of the game, if that is fits the plan, fits the purpose. And if you artificially try to, not an artificial imposition. So if we artificially try to put ourselves somewhere where we don't really belong, it may or may not be helpful for our spiritual life. So it shouldn't be artificial. We should truly be in contact with the Lord in our heart. Okay? Mystic yogi, okay. Don't change externally, we change internally, and we may also change externally then to some degree. Of course, it goes together. Okay. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Then I can try to answer. To improve your service. Well, you want to please the Lord, don't you? So, out of attachment to the Lord, you want to improve your service, okay? Because the goal is to please the Lord. And that can be an ambition. Therefore, I want to do it nicely so that the Lord is pleased. So that way be attached to the results. For the sake of the pleasure of the Lord. Or the result, what we attach to is that the Lord is pleased. And now, of course, that's a fine line there, you know. The Lord is pleased. Is he pleased with my service? Well, if someone comes and complains, and there's many complaints, then maybe it's worth reflecting on it. And then, of course, there may also be many who complain, or may not complain, but let's say there's many complaining about your service. Then actually the thing that who is your authority, you know, who is in charge? And if that one still is satisfying, I mean, a little bit like, I'm speaking to please you or to please Srila Prabhupada. You know, I mean, on his order, on Guru's order, we are doing something, or temple president or whatever, manager's order, okay, do this. And then I do it to my best capacity, then we are not in that way responsible. But still we have a duty. Our duty is to do our duty, okay? We say like that. The duty is to do our duty. And dutifully we do it for the sake of pleasing the Lord. But then also comes, Prabhupada said in the 9th chapter, verse 10 or something, in the purport, and one should think that what you have been given to be done is for the Lord and service is given by the Lord. So it's not the temple commander, it's not the temple president, it's not the guru. Well, Krishna's order comes through the guru. You know that in one sense we're taking it, it's not exactly that person as such. The person is representing the Lord. So that way we are actually serving the Lord via media, this. So then we may or may not like, well, guru, I hopefully like, temple president, temple commander, project leader, sometimes there's a feeling. But we continue because a higher principle, we understand that someone other Krishna, this is where some direction comes. Because then the next is, if someone then complains, it may be that Krishna, we may consider, is this, maybe it's a hint from Krishna, you know, can it, and if we truly want to do nice service for Krishna, please Krishna, it may be good to take a hint that, you know, okay, maybe I can do it better that way. Because then, but you also have higher authorities, I mean, some may come. Someone said, oh, also, suggestions are for free, you know. Everyone likes to give good advice. I give you good advice now, for free. Okay. Okay. So someone corrects you, yes. Or have some point, well, consider it. Put the false ego, pride and prestige to the side and, you know, consider. Maybe that's a valid point. May be very pleasing to the Lord if we can take that position. Okay, any other question or comment? Krishna? Boring class. No questions. No more questions. That was one question. Good, thank you. Okay. Well, we should go and take rest. wind up the day. There's another life tomorrow. Another day tomorrow. What? It will be bhajan now. Okay, good. So now you will have bhajan. Very good. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bhagavad Gita ki jai.